Good morning, Long Island.
Good morning.
How's everyone doing today?
Good.
It's good to see you guys. Cynthia and I are very encouraged to be with you. We thank God for the traffic on the way here on a Sunday morning, because we tried to come out to Long Island on a Sunday night, and that is a disaster. But this morning, God blessed us. We were able to get here without incident, and rather quickly, I must say. So I'm praying that it will be the same on the way home, because you know Long Island is known for its traffic, because there are quite a few people that live out here. But it is encouraging for us to be here. We want to thank you for your service to the Lord, for your sacrifices that you're making, for His glory, for being a part of this region, for supporting John and Tiffany as they lead the region here, and we're proud of them and are thankful for them. And you know, we were praying that and we're still praying for God to provide the staff that we need throughout the church. And God sent us the rodeos, and we thank Him for that. And we're praying that He'll send even more staff here to Long Island. And I know that John and Tiffany are praying for that even more than I am. And we believe that God will answer those prayers in due time. Today, I want to talk to you about a very important and vital subject. A subject that if you put into practice, will change your life today. You will go home a different person if you will heed God's word on the subject that we're going to talk about today. And what we're going to talk about today is attitudes you must have, attitudes you must revive if you want to thrive. Attitudes you must revive if you want to thrive. So let's pray together, and then we'll get started. Our God and Father in heaven, thank you for your wonderful Son and for the salvation that we have through Him. Thank you for the life that you give us in Christ Jesus. God, every good thing in our lives is from you, and we just pray that we can live lives that give you glory, that we can build a church that really reveals to the world your manifold wisdom for all men and women to be one in Christ. Bless our time together today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, life is challenging at times, but if you have the right attitude, it makes all the difference in the world. As a matter of fact, a famous quote says that your altitude is determined by your attitude. That you can only go so high if indeed you're willing to have a great attitude toward life. And as disciples of Jesus, we're not just talking about positive thinking here. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit being in our lives, and us having the attitude of Christ. So I want to share a scripture with you here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 23. And I want to read this to you. Let's read it together, because this is a great passage of scripture that we need to apply to our hearts and to our lives. Paul says here, "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it." So let's look at you know, there are a number of attitudes we could look at in this passage of Scripture, but there are three in particular that I want us to focus on today. And that is being joyful, being thankful, and being Spirit-led. I know John talked about this a little bit in the sermon, at least one of the sermons he preached, maybe it was last week, about how we can thrive through the Spirit of God. And so we will conclude with that. But these are attitudes that if you put them in your heart and practice them daily, they will help you to thrive as a Christian. They will change your life. They will change your marriage. They will change your relationships. It will change the way things are happening in your career and on your job. But the challenge is not just to hear the word today, but to put it into practice. And so these attitudes, being thankful, being joyful, and being Spirit-led, are what we're going to focus on for the next few minutes. So let's start off with being joyful. You know, what does Paul tell the Thessalonians? He says, be joyful how often?
Always.
How often, church?
Always.
Be joyful. Does that describe you this morning? I'm joyful always. I mean, it's like, what are you like at home? What are you like in when you get away from church, when you take off your church face and we see the real you at home? What are you like? You know, as brother was talking about this morning, you're getting up with his wife and he says, well, we're supposed to get up at 8? No, it's 7:58, but I wonder if he was joyful, as you would say. Now, I think he was. I think he was. Weren't you joyful? You were joyful. Amen. You were joyful. All right, you're joyful now for sure, right? He says, be joyful always. And really, the world cannot put this in practice. But those who've been saved by the blood of Jesus should put this into practice, should be living this, to be joyful always. And really, it gives glory to God. And it helps people it helps your light to shine. It helps people to see Jesus is living in you. So he says, be joyful always. Now, what is the motivation for us being joyful? Well, Peter tells us. He tells us when he's talking about our relationship with Christ. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And are filled with what? An inexpressible and glorious joy, for you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. He said, when you understand that you've been saved, that you've escaped hell, that God's redeemed you from an empty way of life, that you're going to heaven, he says you should be filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Becoming a Christian, having all your sins washed away, is the greatest blessing that God can give us. You know, I remember when I got baptized, 1975, I got baptized in Christ. That was a few years ago. And I remember what I felt like the next day. The next morning when I got up, that all my sins, all the stuff I'd done wrong, and there was a pretty long list, that it was washed away, forgotten, never to be mentioned again. And I was walking on air. I was feeling so good. I was so clean. I was like, I will never sin again. I will never sin again. I don't want to mess this up. And the joy and the excitement I had, really, I can't put it into words. It's like someone asks you, describe what it's like to have all your sins washed away. I don't know how to describe it. You have to go through it to really understand it. Because it's an inexpressible joy. It's something that only people who've been there really get it. And I'm not just talking about being religious. I'm talking about a true conversion of Jesus. That when you're truly converted to Jesus, I mean, it's like you're in an elite club where only people who've been through what you've been through can really understand. Why are you so excited to be a Christian? What? You don't get this? I mean, that was and still is the most important day of my life. Number two was getting married to Cynthia. Number three was having our first child. Number four was having our second child. Well, I mean, but that's day number one, because without that day, there's no Cynthia. There's no Christina. There's no Lauren. And so I go back to that day, April 26, 1975, often. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the greatest joy I could ever have, and that is the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, and that's why I'm joyful today. You know, my wife just celebrated her 44th year as a Christian. End of January. I'm so proud of her. Amen. 44 years. And in those 44 years, I've taken her through a lot of ups and downs. I'm sorry. Forgive me, honey. But she's still radiant. She's still filled with joy. She still reads her Bible and prays every day. She still shares her faith. She still goes to church. She's still involved in discipling relationships. She's still filled with joy. And really, the longer you're a Christian, the closer you get to heaven, the more joyful you should be. You know, it shouldn't wear off, but it should be an inexpressible joy. You should be joyful always if for no other reason you have been saved. You know, Paul goes on and says about the Macedonian churches, and Thessalonica was one of the Macedonian churches. So he's talking about this church in which he was only in this town for 3 weeks. These people become disciples. And he says, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. And that's the motivation, isn't it? For being joyful always. Understanding the grace of God. I don't deserve to be a Christian. I don't deserve to be here this morning. I'm thankful God did not give me what I deserve. I dread to think of where I'd be if I did not have a relationship with God this morning. I praise God for His grace and mercy He's had upon me. Fills my heart with joy. Because I've been redeemed and really, He did it in spite of who I was and what I've done. It's the grace of God that should move us. And he talks about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. And he says, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. And see, he's saying the motivation even for their generosity was their understanding of the grace of God and their overflowing joy. Does your joy overflow? Or is it just, is the glass just barely have anything in it? See, when you understand what God's done for you, no one has to push and prod you to sacrifice, to give contribution. No one has to push and prod you to come to midweek or to be in a small group. It's like, man, what? Are you kidding? I'm so thankful to just be here because I don't deserve it. Overflowing joy. That's what we should have as disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, life is challenging at times, isn't it? And so he's not saying if something bad happens to you, you should be joyful about it. But he's saying you should not allow your circumstances to dictate the level of joy that you have in Christ. Because we've all got circumstances that are difficult and situations that are challenging. And sometimes we find ourselves in predicaments that we can't even do anything about. But there's one thing you can always decide. You can decide what you're going to be like on the inside. I can't always choose what happens to me, but I can choose what happens in me. And I choose to be joyful always. Always. You know, I had a predicament the other day, and I got to move on to my next point. The state of New York, for some reason, I didn't even understand, but I was thankful, sent me a check for $407 last month. Man, I was fired up. You know, I opened that envelope, and there was a check for $400+, and it says, like, this is some giving back for real estate tax. I was like, I don't care why you give it to me, but I'm thankful to have it. And so Cynthia was out of town, and so she was coming back, and I decided, you know, I need to clean up. And while I was cleaning up, I misplaced the check. I could not find the check. And the worst thing about it is I couldn't blame her because she was out there. So I looked, I mean, for 3 days I was looking for that check. I was like, where is that check? I need that $400. You didn't throw away $400, fool, did you? And so I was looking everywhere. I mean, I even went to your house looking for my check. And even though I hadn't been there. And so finally, I was about to give up. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to go back through the garbage. So I was out there, and I brought the garbage back in the house. And I started going through the garbage cans, whatever. But the whole time, I said, Sam, are you going to be joyful always? Because it's just $400. It's not do it not. I said, you know, Lord, whether I find it or not, I'm going to not let this change my disposition. And so I went through one garbage can. I went through another garbage can. And there it was. My $400, I think it was $32 check. And I was like, thank you, Lord. I'm even more joyful now. But I decided, be joyful always. What are you like? You know, it's like, do you laugh? Cynthia and I, after 36 years of marriage, we laugh more now than we ever have. She was crying in those early days, but we're laughing now. Where's your joy in the Lord? Go back to the fact that you've been redeemed. And you can be joyful always. The second point, I spent more time on that one than I wanted to. David says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Maybe that needs to be our prayer. Restore to me the joy that I've lost. And then, number two, be thankful. Be thankful. He says here that we're to give thanks in what kind of circumstances? You get that? What kind of circumstances? Give thanks in all circumstances. Are you thankful this morning? See, if you need to revive this attitude. If you want to thrive. It says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And Paul is writing this when he's in a circumstance that's not that great, because he got run out of Thessalonica. And he's writing back to these Thessalonians who are facing persecution. And he says, no matter what you're going through, no matter what situation you find yourself in, there's always a reason to be thankful in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. A lot of times we allow our circumstances to dictate our attitude instead of allowing our relationship with God to decide what we're going to be like in those circumstances. Now you might be saying to me right now, Sam, you don't even know what I'm going through right now. Talking about giving thanks. You don't even know what I'm facing. God does. God does. And whatever story you come up with, I guarantee you, I can come up with one where someone's going through more than you are. And so the challenge is not for you to compare your circumstances with someone else's, but to decide what you're going to be like in your circumstance. You know, married couples, a lot of times, you know what the problem is in our marriage? Is that we've lost our gratitude.
Our attitude has changed. And so the marriage is not what it used to be. We used to be so thankful. It's like, man, I'm happy to be married. I can't wait to go home and be with my wife. And even if the girl couldn't cook, she's offering up burnt offerings to me. She loves me. Praise God. It's great. I mean, but now we're critical. We're negative. We can't even, we don't even know how to fight fear. We can't even get on the other side of it. Because our attitudes change. When one time it was like, and you remember those vows you gave? I will always protect you. I will always guide you. You will laugh all your days. I mean, there will be no tears. And I'm going to lead you to the promised land. And your parents are going to think that you are living heaven on earth because you with me. What happened? Some of us, we came to church, we were so thankful just to be in the church. And now we come in grumbling. Well, we got to come all the way out here. Where is this place? You didn't like the last place. Now you don't like this place. Well, I got to be in this group. Stop it. Thank God somebody wants you in their group. Or maybe they're just putting up with you in their group. What's wrong with us? Be thankful. Man, some people are like, it's too cold up here. We got always complain about something. Northeast, it's too cold. Look, I'd rather be here than in California right now sometimes. At least your house won't slide off the end of the earth. You won't have the places burning up. I mean, there's always, I mean, they got beautiful weather. Okay, all right, they got beautiful weather. But what good is beautiful weather if your house is in a sinkhole? Let me move on. You know what he says? Speak to one another with psalms and your spiritual songs. Make music in your heart to the Lord. Always doing what? Always doing what? Help me out, church. Always doing what? Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. See, the worship leaders, they do better when you're thankful. And they can tell. They can tell. They can tell who's on today. They can tell who's with it. My Lord, my God, he promised me. He promised me. I mean, it's like, where's the promise? Where's the promise? Where's the promise? What's he talking about? I don't believe it. You can tell, man. It's like, get joyful, get thankful. Then maybe God will bless you. Let me give you a song. He says, speak to one another with psalms, right? Hymns and spiritual songs. See, when we're singing this song, we're speaking to one another. I'm trying to speak to you. Your brother spoke to you this morning. He says, Jesus will do what? He'll do what? Are you going to let him fix it? You got to get out of the way. And let him get up under the hood. You can't be like, Jesus, whoa, wait a minute, I got this. You don't have it. Let him fix. We're singing the song to help you. To help you to be thankful. Here's a song. I'm going to speak to you with this song. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And do what? And forget not all his benefits. Is God good to us? He is good to us. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires for good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He's saying, even if you're old, because of what God is doing in your life, because of how you're counting your blessings, your youth should be renewed like an eagle. You shouldn't be some tired, broke down Christian. Barely making it in here. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Not even Jesus. What? What's wrong with you? Speak to one another with this psalm. The next time
your girlfriend's on the phone with you and she's complaining. You said, let's turn over to Psalm 103. I want you to read it this time. And read it like you mean it. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And forget not all his benefits. Because we'll say, I'm going through a hard time right now. You know, even through the hard times, God is teaching you something. And your thanks should even be more so that way. Because I've learned more through my trials than I've learned through my blessings. Because they refine my faith and help me to trust in God more. And as much as I hate to go through it, I am thankful that God took me through those things. So thankful. And I thank him every day. Here's my last challenge to you on this subject. Turn ingratitude into gratitude. What are you struggling with being thankful for today? Your marriage? Well, at least you are married. There are single people who envy you. And you should not be envying them. It's like, hey, we're fighting right now. Well, think about something good. At least she's there for you. At least he's there. At least he's bringing home a few dollars. You know, I just thank God for my wife. No, we're not perfect. But boy, my life is so much better with her than it ever was without her. And statistics show that those of us with good wives, we live better and we live longer. I'm thankful. And so I encourage the single brothers to follow my example. Turn your family says, well, Sam, my kids and things we're going through and my children. At least God blessed you with children. Children are a blessing from the Lord. And yes, there's so much for us to learn in trying to be good parents. But boy, I thank God for the children he's given me. I don't deserve them. And that time goes by so quickly. Just yesterday, my kids were 5 years old. And my daughter just had her 34th birthday last month. How does that happen? Your health. She was saying, my health broken down. Yeah, join the club. I got a hiccup in my giddy up too. You know what I'm saying? To get up out the bed. And I'm just. But at least I'm thank God I can get up. It beats the alternative. Okay, Lord, I got a little pain here. My vertical leap ain't what it used to be. But at least I'm still vertical. You know, your marital status says, well, Sam, I want to get married. You know, you got a better chance of getting married if you're thankful than if you're grumpy and grouchy and critical and cynical and walking around like you've been baptized in vinegar. I mean, you got a better chance. And let me tell you something about marriage. If you're not thankful before you get married, you're going to be miserable after you get married. Because there ain't nothing worse than being stuck up in a room with a sinful man who you're trying to change, who you're looking to be your source of joy and happiness. You know, while you're single, enjoy every day of it to the full. And thank God you're there. Your finances. You know, turn ingratitude to gratitude. So, Sam, I don't have the career, the job I hope to have. But do you have one? Do you have one? Thank God for it. And thank God you live in America. You can find a job in America. It may not be the job you want, but you can get a job. You know, I drove past McDonald's. They were hiring. There's a job out there. Somebody's got to work there, right? Somebody's got to work. We're all going there. Somebody, you don't want to go there and nobody's there. Somebody's got to work there. But if you're thankful for the job you got, maybe God will give you a bigger one, a better one. And on and on and on we can go. But he says, give thanks in all circumstances. You know, I There's a sister, I praise God for her, and I talk about her everywhere I go, because a year and a half ago, I did her wedding. And she's been single for a while. But a year and a half after she got married, her husband died. And the challenging thing about this is that this was the second time she'd been engaged. The first time she got engaged, that brother died before they got married. And then she finally gets married, and she's married a year and a half, and she loses her husband. And so what do you think she's like when she's at church? Oh, it's hard. It's difficult. But she's still giving thanks in all circumstances. How was your week? Huh? How does your week compare to that? I mean, I don't even want to hear your grumbling and grumbling. When I think about what other people are going through, and I think about how much God's blessed my life, is that your attitude? You know, your week will be different this week if you decide, I'm going to be thankful in all, I'm going to give thanks in all circumstances. When you're fighting that traffic tomorrow, you just start praising God. God, thank you that my car did not break down. Thank you, God, that that person that cut me off, that God, I'm not a non-Christian where, and I don't have my gun in the glove compartment. Thank you, God, that I got a different attitude. Thank you, God, that, look, I'm going to take my time and get to work safely and get back home in my right mind. Just thank you for giving me a different focus. You can find a reason to be thankful. But in the same way, you can find reasons to be negative and critical. Just decide to be thankful. Let me finish this up. Reflect upon your present blessings, of which every man has plenty, not on your past misfortunes, of which all men have some. Count your blessings. You know, when our daughter Christina used to complain, Cynthia would have her write out 100 things that she should be thankful for. 100 things. That's a good way to train your kids. Write out a list of 100 things to be thankful for. And when you go back and look at that list, pray for God. Praise God if your name is on it. And I'm thankful for Mom. I'm thankful for Dad. You know, we have to train them to be thankful. Because it's not who we are naturally. In our sinful nature, we're grumpy and grouchy. And we're like the Israelites. Even though God has blessed us and divided the Red Sea, we can still find something to complain about. Be thankful. Give thanks in all circumstances. And finally, as we bring this to a close, be spirit-led. I don't need to talk about this a lot because John did such a good job talking about it himself. But the Bible tells us here, it says, look, do not put out the Spirit's fire. No, you got baptized in Christ. You were given not only the forgiveness of sins, but the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that spirit is not a spirit of timidity. It is a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline, according to 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. And God wants that spirit to guide your life, to lead your life. And it's a spirit that wants to preach. It's a spirit that wants to do great things for God. It's a spirit of fire. And it wants to work in us and work through us. And it's a spirit that urges us sometimes to step outside of our comfort zone and to be willing to trust in God. I believe that Cynthia and I came to the New York church 30 years ago because the Spirit led us here. It was not on my, New York was not on my list of best places to live. And I remember that the lunch she encouraged me to go and have with Steve and Lisa. I wasn't even feeling it. I was like, but because you want me to go, I will go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go back. What do I don't know these people? Why are we going over there to Georgia to meet them? But she was more spiritual than I was. So I went. And then they started talking to us about, well, Because we were looking at other places, and I visited LA, and I visited North Carolina, and I visited Denver, and I was thinking about, hey, we'll move to one of these churches. Because I saw that we needed to grow more spiritually. And then here comes New York, and they said, well, on your way to LA, just stop by. Just stop by, New York. I said, okay, we'll stop by. It won't hurt to stop by. And I've been here ever since. That was the Spirit of God. And now I'm feeling the Spirit again saying, Florida, Florida, I feel it. Can you feel it? Are you feeling it? I don't know. That's not the Spirit. Test the Spirit, right? Test the Spirit. See if they're from God. You know, the Bible tells us, it says in the Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, what does he tell us to do? Keep in step with the Spirit wants to move in your life. Are you behind? Keeping in step? I mean, the Spirit's like, come on, come on, come on, come on. And what are you doing? Keep in step with the Spirit. I mean, I heard John talk about how, you know, sometimes the Spirit prompts us. Speak to that person. Share with that person. I mean, sometimes it just tells you, write a note of thanksgiving to that person. Keep in step with the Spirit. Look, God is trying to lead us by His Spirit. He wants to perform a miracle in your life. But not if you keep quenching the Spirit. I'm going, no, 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 no. That's not what I feel like doing. God is moving. If you're visiting here today, it's probably because by the Spirit of God, you were led here. The Ethiopian eunuch, the Bible says that he was in his chariot. And the Spirit of the Lord told Philip, go near that chair. Just go near the chair. Just go on over there near. They didn't even say, I thought I'm saying anything. Just go near the chair. And he went over there near the chair, and the guy was reading the Bible. And Philip, hey! Do you know what you're reading? How can I? Unless someone explains it to me. He explained it to him. The Ethiopian eunuch went back to Ethiopia, and I think he opened the door for all of Africa to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the Spirit of God, this week, one conversation, one encounter, one person that God leads you to can change the world. Can change the world. There are people in our church, they're here, you're here, because someone was led by the Spirit of God to reach out to you. And now God is saying you should do the same. So I want to leave you with this. To thrive, these are the attitudes you must revive. Starting today, be joyful always. Give thanks in all circumstances. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. And may God give you the strength to not just live, but to thrive by the power of the Spirit. God bless you.